tamata wakatangi hangi kuweyo uo tamataya tulipuka kapiki mong.
Renewable energy in 2011 is somewhere what IT was in 1990s. That's going to be the future for the next 20 years or beyond.
Welcome to the Blue Continent Podcast. I'm your host, Brennan Pertzer, International Research Coordinator
for the Blue Continent Alliance, the Blue Continent Podcast, and your Blue Continent.
What this program is about, this podcast, what makes it unique is finding people who have knowledge or expertise or have worked to address in a sustainable way a lot of global development issues. My guest today is Girish Shivakumar, who is the host of the Mission Shunya podcast. So I just wanted to welcome you to the podcast to talk about everything. Sure. You're an enthusiast who cares a lot about green and sustainable technology that's permitting a more sustainable world. Can you tell me, what does Mission Shunya mean?
Hi, thanks for having me on the podcast. It's definitely a pleasure to be on the podcast. Shunya in the Indian language means zero. So Mission Shunya means the transition, or I believe it's the covering stories related to the transition to a zero carbon economy.
Cool.
So be it energy, mobility, or zero also signifies the circular economy and zero waste and everything that goes along with getting to net zero.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been doing this podcast for how long?
So this happens to be my second podcast, and I've been doing it for over a year. Okay. I started off with blog early in 2012 and then got into podcasting in around 2017, and this is my second show.
What was the first show, and what's the difference in your angle between what you were originally trying to doing and what you're trying to do with your show now?
So to give a brief background, so when I started blogging, it was with the intent to cover stories and let people know about the work that I've been doing. So when I got started with my job and I was telling people that I develop solar power plants, people used to ask like solar power plants for roof or something like that. So they were not really clear about what I was really doing. So I said, let me write about my experience of developing power projects. That's how I got started with blogging. And after that, people started understanding, okay, renewable energy in a big scale is happening in India, and they got awareness, or I started writing about all that. So then podcasting as a medium started picking up. So I wanted to get in there. And in 2017, I kind of joined and started this podcast where I wanted to get the perspective of the policymakers, because policy push in energy was taking off big time around in 2017.
Yeah.
So I got talking to policy experts, the top CEOs from renewable energy companies, electric mobility companies, and everyone. But then again, I noticed that the shift was a little different. The end message, like common man, kind of didn't relate to what the conversation was happening on that channel. So I said, like, okay, let me focus this towards the common man, or let me tell stories about people who are doing sustainability or clean tech in their own way. Not a big company, not a big known face. I started bringing people who are not really, say, renowned in the sector, but are emerging and doing sustainability in their own way. So I started covering those topics, and so that people, like general people, could relate to those kind of stories. So that's how Mission Shunya got started.
Okay. What is the momentum like in India for renewables now? On different levels? Because you've got the general population, their awareness, do they care? Do they want this? And how is it being received in a government side?
So renewables globally also have seen a significant deployment, even on an average 7-10% year-on-year growth over the last few years. So India is no different, or rather the Indian growth is kind of little more than the global growth in the last few years. And ever since I started, solar was in very nascent stage in back in 2011. I kind of was involved even in the big 5 megawatt, first project of 5 megawatt in India in 2011. Ever since, the targets have been ramped up. The initial target in 2011 was about like 20 gigawatt by 2022. But later on, the target was said like we will do 175 gigawatts of renewable energy by 2022. Wow. Now, towards the end of last year, the government said, let's ramp up our targets to have like around 400 gigawatts of renewable energy by 2030. Wow. So the targets have been revised and they have been scaled up by a big factor. And that has also aided the reduction in the price. So the cost of generation from solar, wind, has everything come down significantly over the last few years. One of the reasons is the scale.
Are there also targets as far as what percentage of the national power should be coming from renewables?
So there are no targets particularly of that, but if we look back on targets of reducing the emissions, the INDC, the commitment that India gave to the Paris Climate Agreement, the INDC says like 33 to 35% of reductions compared to 2005 levels by 2030. So if we reach about 400 gigawatt by 2030, I mean, we will be more than that, at least in the terms of generation per se. But I know the emissions will also cover the other aspects, not just power generation. But yeah, it'll be there.
Now, your background, you attended Cambridge and you got a master's in the philosophy of sustainability studies, is it? And how did you become so inspired by about the world of renewable energy and sustainable technology?
Again, it all goes back to where when I finished my bachelor's, in Bangalore, the Silicon Valley of India. There are a lot of opportunities to pick up a role in IT or semiconductor, any company like that. But I got an opportunity to look at a company called UE Solar in 2011. They were UE is a global player based out of Germany in building renewable energy power plants all around the world. They were setting up operations in India at that point. So they were looking for fresh graduate engineer trainees to join their company. And when I got there, I mean, the boss kind of told renewable energy in 2011 is somewhere what IT was in 1990s. So he said, that's going to be the future for the next 20 years or beyond. I don't know, but that statement had a big impact in my decision because I, in spite of having other offers, I said like, okay, let me try this because I've always been interested in having a low carbon footprint because I always preferred cycling right from when I was growing up and being conscious about the environment and stuff like that. So renewable energy kind of resonated with me. I gave it a shot. And ever since, I started going out, building projects and everything. I started liking it. And the more I was involved in project development, I kind of understood, okay, getting to 100% renewable energy or getting building more renewable energy was one part. Then there are other aspects to sustainability, like reducing emissions from vehicles, the circular economy, the sustainable development goals, and all the other concepts also fit into the overall ambit. So that's when I said, like, let me explore about this. And I pursued my master's in that discipline. And ever since, yeah, after energy, now in mobility, been doing with storage and...
India, as a rising superpower, I mean, there are so many domestic issues that people have to deal with every day, whether it's health and the economy and all of that. How do you see the growing awareness of environmental factors that people need to be involved with, green technology and the environment? Do you see that that's something people are thinking about more often, just the common person?
Well, if you asked me this question a few years earlier or 5, 10 years earlier, I would have said no. Even say the nuclear disaster in Japan didn't have like a big impact on the common man in India. But over the years, people realized two things. One was the price of conventional fuel was not the realistic one, or the price of renewable energy was coming lower. So investing in those technologies actually helped people. And similarly, even in mobility, people in these days in India, in mega cities like Delhi, Bangalore, they know air pollution is a big problem, and switching to electric mobility is a big enabler. Or even that matter, getting metros and mass public transits in place is a big shift. So electric mobility also happens to be a good, people are generally aware and they feel that's really the thing that we need to adopt. The other aspect towards this is also about the occurrence of major events, like say we didn't have so many heavy impact cyclones, say in the decade between 1990, 2000 or up to 2010. The occurrence of these events are you get a large, a big cyclone, a big flooding thing every year. Every state kind of is impacted by this. So people are aware that increasingly the occurrence of this is because of the global issue and global problems. India is also facing this impact. So they're kind of aware that they need to protect their own habitat. Forests have to be protected, growing more trees. And people are generally aware that climate change is real. And since it's a global phenomenon, India is also facing the repercussions of it. So that awareness is also picking up slowly.
Well, that's interesting. So in response to that, are you seeing a lot of innovation from Indian companies and cities, basically, to address renewables, to reduce their carbon footprint? What kind of innovations are you seeing? As I know you talk about this on your show.
So one, I mean, in India, the basic thing, the common terminology that is used for innovation is colloquially called jugaad or frugal innovation. People kind of generally are very innovative at the local grassroots level, be it any technology, any upcoming technology. People are always looking to improvise on the product at a frugal level. And those kind of technologies have been scaled up in a big way in the last few years. In almost, it generally is scaled up, but the evolution of technology, like for example, in these days, if someone in the remote corner kind of has like a solar device, it gets more popular because the medium is there, mobile telephony is there. So people generally share all those kind of videos and it gets popular. People then find out like, okay, let me see how I can reach him, get him on board, let me fund his idea and things like that. So like that, there are the innovation, there is no dearth of innovation in India that way. And all these ideas are getting popular. They're getting recognized and they're getting scaled up. For example, even globally, upcycling is not like a big thing or it's not very popularly known. Not many people know it, but India traditionally has been doing that. Like traditionally, India people don't just discard anything that they use after just first use. They kind of hand it over to people who would be in need. So then those people would probably repurpose it and use it for different other purposes. So this mentality has been there in India centuries ago. So in modern days, when people are generally aware that you can create good material out of the waste, the so-called waste, people are aware and there are a lot of companies in India at this point in time who have picked up upcycling and they're creating innovative products. And again, e-commerce boom is there. So people generally host the products on those websites. It gets a lot of traction and that has given a emergence of upcycling. So reduced waste and upcycling is just one concept, but yeah, I cover all the stories. In fact, I've covered a company recently who's an upcycling pioneer in India on my podcast. Just one example.
Which guest was that?
So this company is called Reimagined. So they are based out of the same city as I. And the other aspect to it is they're also looking at this business from a social point of view. So they are getting people to work on this from remote parts of India. So even though the company is based in Bangalore, they get people working from the Northeast and other parts of India where talent is there, but it's not kind of widely recognized. So those people are really artistic and they have new ideas in arts. So they have their own style and those kind of designs are popularized in what this company makes as products. So
earlier this week or last week, I interviewed a gentleman from Ghana who his company was sort of upcycling in that they were taking all of the plastic waste and turning it into bricks that could be used for roadways and things like that. Reducing waste, basically. Yeah.
That's a good example. I kind of saw the post on your platform. Talking of that, taking plastic, I interviewed another company. That company was the company was into traditional fabric manufacturing. But the third generation entrepreneur kind of said, like, let me look at taking plastic and then making it into wearable fabric. So
any way to reduce that waste and reuse, right?
Yes. So the company produces good quality products out of the plastic bottles that they recycle, repurpose them into t-shirts. And that's another good business line they have taken up.
On your podcast, do you ever cover consumer technology that helps consumers reduce their amount of waste? Another company that I'm going to be doing is a software company that helps people to make more educated buying decisions. For example, allowing you to find products that have a less waste and a lower CO2 carbon footprint. Do you ever do software companies?
I haven't got a chance to do companies like that, but I have done companies who have developed a platform per se to kind of give people an idea about what kind of waste they are generating and how can they dispose the waste, or they help connect the people to kind of dispose their waste in the safest manner so that it reaches the recycling point. So they have built online platforms to do that. So I've interviewed people on that. So those kind of companies are there in India. Early on, that few years back, that industry was not very, didn't have a proper channel of disposal, but now there are a lot of startups in that space as well.
From your background as someone who has been very aggressively pursuing these sustainable technologies, especially in India, where do you see the greatest opportunity for your country in the next 10 years? A specific technology or approach that has the most potential to affect in our shared vision, basically?
There are definitely multiple options. Like electric mobility is a big option because opportunity for India. But I would still hedge my bet on solar. And Solar India has been one of the leaders in setting up the International Solar Alliance, mm-hmm. group of network of countries globally, and helping every other country in the belt around equator to kind of between Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn, all the countries there to kind of get together, share technology, have a common vision to scale up solar technology in this belt, which happens to be the best suited for solar generation, and then scale up technology, reduce the cost, and help everyone be successful in this belt. So solar is going to be a game changer. And I think solar plus reducing the intermittency of solar by adding storage will be something that India would probably take a big step forward. I mean, India has already done a little bit of that by having large scale auctions in solar parks. Was something that India was kind of one of the first few countries to do in a large scale, where government said, you don't worry about the infrastructure of getting the transmission and other networks. I'm giving you this vast piece of land. I will get the transmission lines laid down to this site. You just build a power project there. So this kind of infrastructure setup is something that India has pioneered. And it is something that other countries have picked up after India.
I definitely agree about the potential of solar in India. It seems like a perfect place for it. What can we expect coming up on your podcast in the next month or so?
So since I cover most things around sustainability and stories around the zero carbon transition, and recently I covered a lot of episodes, the last few episodes have been around the theme of impact of COVID-19 on the sustainability and the clean tech transition and things like that. So now I'm getting back to covering stories on the bigger issues. I'm getting people to talk about country-specific targets. I have a guest lined up from UK, Australia, to come and talk about how they are getting to net zero in their own countries. I mean, governments have committed to go net zero in different years, different sectors. So I'm getting experts from that field who are analyzing the various trajectories within the countries to kind of achieve that. A few reports have been published, so guests will come on the show and talk about that. In addition to that, I will get back to the entrepreneurs at grassroots level and social entrepreneurs who are making difference in a different way. So those are the other stories that I'll be bringing up soon.
Okay. Well, I'm really excited to hear that. How can people find your podcast?
People can find Mission Shunya, that is Mission Shunya, on any podcast platform. The podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any platform where they find your podcast. So let me make it easy for them. They can find it wherever they find your podcast.
I'll make it even easier. I really like to tweet and to tell people, refer them to great podcasts like yours. And I'm really looking forward to the next one. Anything you want to leave my audience with?
I always tell people that for me, it's been collaborating with people, getting to hear about people's new ideas and any suggestion that they have towards a common theme. Like, for example, the way we got in touch, because we both believe in a common vision, a shared vision. So we have the same thing. So we got an idea. We started collaborating. So I look forward to hear more from people on this theme of getting to net zero, decarbonizing the global economy and things like that. So if anyone's interested, I would be happy to discuss. And if I can be of help to anyone in the space, I would be happy to do that as well. So,
perfect. And people can reach out to you. They can tweet to you at Mission Shunya. Yeah.
Sure.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for being my guest and for doing what you do. I certainly appreciate it. I know a lot of people do. And we need more folks who are vocal and engaged the way you are. So thanks so much, Girish.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Theme music, The Lone Ranger by Quantum Jump.
Thanks everybody for listening to the Blue Continent podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you'll subscribe and join us again. Tell others about us. This podcast is also available in a raw video format found on our Blue Continent Alliance Facebook page. If you'd like to see our mini documentaries from around the world, visit the Blue Continent YouTube page today. Thanks again for listening. Take care.